a lot of activity here and there, but God's getting it done. Amen. And it's all about that. That's what we're about. And Tom, I'm looking for a scripture, and I'm looking for Elijah talking and a little bit of complaining that he had about. He said something like, I'm struggling with this, God, and God instructs him, says there's 7,000 others that haven't bowed the knees. First Kings 19, I believe, but I don't really know where it's at. 18 it is? What verse is it? 19, 18? It's the 19th chapter, the 18th verse? Yeah? Okay, let's go there. 19th chapter, 18th verse. And I was just coming out of the room, and I didn't intend this, but I'm going to share it with you because it really stoked me. I said, man, my God, the lights went on. And then I want to get into what we're supposed to do here today. And the 18th verse said, he's talking to God. He's complaining a little bit and all this. And he said, and God's telling him, he said, I've left 7,000, say 7,000, in all of Israel that haven't bowed the knee unto Baal, that haven't compromised unto Baal. And it says this, and I always read this thing as well, you know, this was, he was down, he was fighting this thing, but I read it right before I came out of the room. I wasn't intending on it. And God really fed me some juice with it. And he said, right after that, so it says, and so he departed immediately. I don't know what your translation says. He went out immediately. What's your translation say on that verse, 19th verse? Huh? And it says, and so Elijah, that's what it says. Mine in the Amplified. It says that he told him, I can't, there's 7,000 others. God said, there's 7,000 others that haven't bowed the knee. There's 7,000 other guys out there that you're looking for. 7,000. And Elijah didn't just say, okay, God. It says in the next verse, so he left and he found them. So he left and he found them. And it went off in me. That's what we're going to do. And it was asking me, where are those men? Where are the disciples? Where are they? And I just read that scripture, and I go, wow. He told them, they're out there. Go find them. They're out there. I'm going to find them. And he said, go out there and cast a mantle on them. Go out there. Say they're out there. As for me, I know I'm going out there. As for me, I'm going to cast that mantle on them. I want you to look at this thing with the mantle. It's amazing. He didn't just hear it. He went and did it. Anything you're doing with your life individually, say God's not magical. You got to put your hand to something to see him move on something. You got to be working towards that thing to work with him on that thing. It's not going to happen magically. We've been sitting a long time, so I say, magic, God, is this guy on the head? No, it's not magical. Say, God's not magical. I got to put my hand to that thing so he'll work on that thing. And he's doing that in this church. He's doing that in this house. And there's been a good change. I woke up the other morning, and I was like, my God, because songs go through my head. You know, it's a new day. It's a new thing. I go, it is a new day. It's a new day here. Things have changed. You know, we had so much pressure 2 weeks ago in this local church. So much pressure, and it was God pressure. Say God pressure. Write it down in your notes. God's pressure gives you power. It's not to crush you. It's to squeeze reality out of you. That's how you pray and get results. That power gives you pressure. That pressure gives you power with God. And we were pressed in here, and we felt God moving our hearts, and we're saying, what's going on, God? We were saying that in this house. What's going on, God? And he began to minister to our hearts and say, an unjust balance is an abomination to God. He began to minister to our hearts and saying, look, you guys, I've invested in you, church. I've invested in these men and women in this house. I've invested in the elders in this place. I've sown seed in this house. I've trained men, invested men. And Scott was telling me, even in the military, when you put $1 million in a Navy SEAL, he's worth a lot. And you want to use them, and you want them to be spent. God invests. Hey, God's not wasteful. He invests in us, in this local house, and take it personal as well. He invests in you, and he's calling for a reaping in it. And he's calling for a reaping in here. And it's been such an unjust balance. But we've worked it, and we've worked it and been faithful to God. But he's broke us through. Say, I'm broken through. To me, the sense of God's so real, I'm already over there. I'm not thinking, like, is it going to happen? I'm already there. I'm already there. I'm already casting mantles. I'm already looking for that 7,000. I'm finding them. They're all around. And God's doing something in this church, and he's going to use you. Say, he's using me. And it's more than local. It's the must of God. Say must. M-U-S-T. Say, I must. Not I want. We didn't choose this here. God set it up here. And in this leadership and in this fellowship, it's the must of God. Jesus said, I must go to other cities. That's happening. It's already beginning out of this house. It's going to happen in Dallas. I'm shooting it when I go to California. I'm throwing some mantles. Everything's green in this church's life, not yellow. Go. Everything's on the go in this place. We've been limited too long, and God's broken us through. We're going to touch things on a regional level. I can't help but say what's real. And you say, well, it looks like nothing's changed. Get ready. Get ready. Now's the time to shake yourself. Now's the time. Now's the time to shake yourself. We sing that song all the time. Awake, awake. Shake yourself from that slumber. Now's the time. And God's going to, he's using such a setup that you watch the people that we're probably going to Dallas, possibly in some areas of California, whatever. And as people go out, it's going to make room for other people to come forth. That means you. Nobody's a pew sitter. Everybody's recruited, finding their callings and their giftings and putting them to work. And some are going to go, and some are going to stay, and some are going to go, and some are going to stay. But God's growing his church. And I'll tell you right now, in this city that's been so full of religion and lazy, it's going to provoke them to jealousy. When they see the activity of God happening from other cities, just like Israel, I'm going to provoke them to jealousy. Too long in this community. Too long is gone. Not followers, but admirers of Jesus. It's time for a change. Say a change. And when I'm talking corporately, you take it personally. Take it personally. I've dealt a long time with admirers. I was telling Jimmy Heath, a lot of admirers, I had them in encounters with God in my office. They're out there crying. They come out here saying, God, he saved me. I said, that's good, but it's not. You're not predestined for salvation. That's not enough. You're to go on unto perfection. You're called to be a son of God, predestined to be a son of God. Some maturity, some weight, some salt and light in the earth to change this rotten society. That's you. Tell your neighbor. Tell three people. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. Jesus said that. The church has been weak too long. It's been impotent too long. It's been pretending too long. And that's because he's not rightly discerning the Lord's body. We're not looking at how he said it and how he planned it. And you lose generation after generation because they say, I don't want part in this. I can't do a social club. I need God. And it's happening. Say, hey, it's happening. No more admirers, followers for Jesus. The divine seed in this house, this church is in the best form of God's unity in the history of its existence. Write it down. It's never been in such unity. It's never been in such growth nor maturity in its conception. This church. Say this church. I'm telling you the truth. You'll catch it if you don't catch it now. The unity is better than ever here. Jesus said it like this. Make them one even as we are one. How do you make them one? Because we try to be buddies? No, because his glory joins you. He said, make them one by the glory, by the reality, by the nature that I have. Make them one. This place, this church, its unity is better than it's ever been. God did that. God did that. The identity in this church is greater than it's ever been. I've never seen less division here. People have gone through testing and passed. Elders have become pillars in the house of God. They've grown in God and become pillars. Revelations 3, you write it down, 20. He said, there'll be pillars in my house. Pillars. When God saves you, you know, he goes to catching men. You become a fish, fisher of men. You catch them. And he said, Peter said, I'm going to make you a lively stone. But that's not all. I'm going to make you a pillar in the house of God. You're going to be immovable. These men have come to that place. They've come to this place in stature. No man could give it to them. They had to walk a course and grow with him. But they're there. Amen. Pillars. Of course God's ready to send things out because things aren't shaking around. Pillars remain. Pillars. Mr. Consistency. I don't know. You have the invisible growth level. It's amazing. Mr. Consistency. I don't see any bumps or anything. He's just invisible, but always growing and progressing. Always growing and progressing. Arthur's grown and progressed. I know in the last months that you had some huge breakthroughs. Huge breakthroughs. This man had some huge breakthroughs in the last several months. I remember the day I met him. All the other guys were getting dealings. He goes, well, I'm not. Well, you have now. They came now. They came. He was back in the young days when we used to come visit. He said, I don't know, man. That guy's always getting dealings. Not me. Jimmy smiled. Not me. He has it. He came to me the other day and told me something. I heard God, and I wasn't supposed to say anything, so I didn't. But he looked at me. He said, Craig, I lost this many pounds. I said, man, you look good. But inside, I saw in his heart a chiseled man, A man that went through trial and chiseled. He was chiseled. His face structure in God was different. He said, I lost weight naturally. Yeah, you gained muscle and spirit. You went through some things that no man could give you. That's how God makes a pillar. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about what God's doing in the house. Though you see nothing different, it's happening. I'm already there. I'm already there. You can't contain God. You can't contain the measure. I wasn't called to play around with some admirers. I was called to make disciples, sons and daughters of God. That's what I was called to do, and it's going to happen. God's the God of measure and balance. He's the God of just. He won't let you rot. You think you're rotten in your job. You think you're rotten in that place. He's going to exalt you and promote you. In due time, you'll reap if you faint not. We're about to reap in here. You say, well, that's a small group. I'm ready to shake it, buddy. I'm ready to shake it out there. Cast the mantle. Throw it out there. Everywhere we're going, everyone we're meeting. Craig, wake up. Look around you. Why are you meeting so many different people from so many different places? Those are the 7,000. There they are right there. Go find them. Quit talking about it. Jimmy, I don't know why. They came and admired one day and they left the next. Bless God. I'm like that. He said, why they leave? I said, I know why they leave. They're not empty. They're so full of themselves like this water. They're so full of themselves. The church has become pathetic. So full of self-interest, self-gratification, and doesn't care a lick about the next generation. Me, 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 I. And that's the nation that Americans come the same way. God says in Isaiah 51, look at the rock from which you were hewn out of. Look back to your forefathers. Sometimes you got to look back. Tell your neighbor, sometimes you got to look back to your forefathers. You read the scripture. Isaiah 51, he said, sometimes we're to look unto Jesus always. But sometimes you got to look back, Isaiah said, to the rock which you came out of. And America would do well to do the same. Look back to some of your forefathers that served God and didn't forsake God. Look back to true leaders in this nation. Look back to forefathers that lived for God and bowed their knee and depended on his wisdom. And were men, and they were men. Men of God. Men of stature. Sometimes you got to look back to your history to see where you're coming out of. Not this administration that we're in now. Is it Heavenly Father or Big Brother? Big Brother's making a bunch of lazy people, soft people. But Father God said, I'm going to make you a disciple. God the Father said, I'm going to train you. You're going to be a responsible one. You're going to be an initiator. No matter what the environment is. That's how God does his people. The sons and daughters of God are the greatest people on the earth. Not the religious. The sons and daughters of God. They make the impact. They're the salt. They're the light. Wherever you go. God said, I'm going to train you to be a leader. People say, well, man, that's such a hard thing. Hey, God, he fed thousands. Amen? He's always reaching out his hand to feed. And he does. He feeds them. When you're down, bless God, he'll feed you. He'll make sure that you fare well. Not welfare. He'll make sure you fare well. You're going to be all right. Let me feed you. Let me help you. Now, let me train you how to get a job. Because in my kingdom, if you don't work, you don't eat. In my kingdom, Proverbs says, if you sleep and love sleep, you're a slothful, lazy person, and you're going to get poverty. In my kingdom, like now in America, I hear people tell me, Craig, I can't get a job. I got a college degree, and I got 3 degrees in this, and I can't get a job. I said, not the job you want. You can get a job. You can get a job, not the one you think you're worth. Huh? Huh? That is the way of God. God makes sons and daughters, trained people. Men of, chiseled men, pruned men, no way out. Who knows how many times Arthur tried to get around that thing. God said, no, you're going to fry you. And I'm going to shape you, and I'm going to use you, buddy. And I'm going to reproduce. So the elders in the house are pillars. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the unity. I'm excited about the prophets, house prophets in this place. All my life I told Jimmy, Tom, he's starting to come out. He's helping us build. He's prophesying and strengthening. He's saying, don't lose your crown. Hey, don't panic now. Hey, he's doing that. He's building. 3 years ago, he'd tell me a story about Derek Prince. Today, he's building the house of God. He's one with the house, one with the vision. Amen, amen. The young ones are coming up, prophesying, singing songs faster than any of us did. Faster than any of us did. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They're coming up. My daughter, Dad, I got a song. Sing it. I did a little bit. Sing it faster than I did. I used to go home and say, God's dealing with my heart, and go home and frustrated because I didn't follow through. No, I didn't. Shut it. But that's how you grow. That's how you grow. You don't give up. Not say that. Say, I'm not raised by Big Brother. I'm not raised by a big government. And then we got to shake that out. And you got to make a contrast. Your life's got to make a contrast. Your leaders, the kingdom, your leaders. And people don't want that. The main reason this guy got voted in was because people were racist and they just like to be lazy. Not all. Say not all. Craig's extreme. Not all. I'm sure my father-in-law voted for him. He's not a lazy man, and nor is he, whatever I just said, a racist. But a lot of people were. They wanted to make history on the color of skin. And Jesus said, the skin means nothing to me. I want a leader. I want a stature. That's what I'm about. Yeah, get ready, because the writing's on the wall. Daniel said, meeny, meeny, whatever. The writing's coming on the wall for this administration. The writing's coming on the wall, and they're not going to be able to read it. They haven't listened yet, but they're going to send people of God to say, what does that mean? It means you're messing up. It means you're messing everything up, and it means that if you repent, you'll do right. And you pray for those in authority. Then you pray for, we're praying for them, and I'm praying that every hidden thing will come to light continually. Yeah, everybody's saying, well, probably bless him. I can't bless what God's not blessing. I'm praying that he be exposed. I'm praying that things would show up, that people would wake up and see intentions and don't be duped again. Yeah, but you know how it is in the nature of men, hey? You know how it is. Hey, just take care of me, big brother. Make me even lazier. Make me sit back. What are you going to give me? I can't. Oh, I'm happy this guy got voted in, and now my woes are over. Huh? Did you hear that? That happened. But that's the mentality of people, not the mentality of the kingdom of God. And I'm so happy that people are willing not to be just admirers of Jesus, but followers of him. And I met a guy the other day, 2 days ago in the office, and he wouldn't go to church anywhere. And I was counseling a guy. He said, can you bring him in? He's a little bit hard to deal with, but he said he would like to meet you. Came in there. I can't believe it. I was telling Jimmy or somebody, or I don't know who he was telling. I was in there for an hour already. I was so zoned, God zoned. He walked in the door. It was like I had a pair of glasses, could see where he was, where he was going, and what he needed to hear. It was incredible. I wish I could do it on purpose. I just couldn't. I wanted those glasses all the time. But what, can I see that? I would save a lot of time doing this. I'm serious. I was burning, man. I was feeling, I said, my God, the moment before he was down the hall, I was getting this information about his life. And so I tried to be cordial. I asked him, so why did you come here? Why did I come here? And I said, never mind. I'm going to tell you why you came here. Because my glasses are on. I'm going to tell you why you came here. You came, this is where you're at in your life. And this is what you've been facing at 3 a.m. And this is where you need to be. And God made you this way. And though you've been an adrenaline junkie, God said, that's a gift of faith that I made in you. But you got to get right with God so that to go on. And he said, that's why I am like I am. That's why I'm in. Cries, hits his knees, calls out to God. And I said, okay. I'm so glad that you're saved and right with God. I want you to continue because there's more to this kingdom than this. He said, I want to bring in Hebrews many sons unto glory. I want to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. I'm going to build a people, not just a man, not just a ministry. I'm going to build a people in the earth to be salt and light, to weigh this thing out. Abraham said, God said, 10 righteous in the earth, we can do something. That's all it takes, 10 righteous men in the earth. That's all it takes. That's me. Tell your neighbor, that's me. That's who I am. That's how God made me. I'm not lowering it down to religious standards. I'm going to be a testimony of God. And then when that kid, I was talking to him, I said, man, I told Steve Bissett yesterday. I said, this guy, God got his heart. He encountered God immediately. I said, and all human beings, all men are made this way to love God and have his image and to rule. He said, I want you to have my image and have dominion. People want to rule. They're made to rule. Tell your neighbor, I'm made to rule, not control. Say, I'm made to rule, not control. To have dominion, to rule, to set things in order, to remove chaos. That's who you are. That's what we do. This is what we do. It might not be the famous thing in America, but it's a God thing in the earth, on earth as it is in heaven. That's his kingdom. Say, I'm in. I'm not a follower. I mean, I'm a follower. I'm not an admirer. I'm following the Lamb wherever he goes. I'm following Jesus. That's all it is. That's all God requires. And you see this next generation so hungry to say, who am I and what do I do and turn me loose? I'm looking for him. Say, I'm looking. Amen. So back to this church here. You got elders. We got elders eldering. And I've always been boasting on Jimmy. I don't know because, you know, he's that kid. I don't know what that is. I had to have a meeting this week. He came in. I called Arthur, actually. I think earlier, Arthur was negotiating, closing a deal. Like, so he was busy. Jimmy, I said, I need another elder. And Jimmy said, here I come. And we had a counseling meeting. And, of course, Arthur, by predisposition, say predisposition, it doesn't mean anything. He just tends to lean that way. Shepherds people, lays them down. Relax, man. Let me take that thorn out of your side. Are you doing all right, dude? Hey, come on. Let's go get something to drink. I love you, man. God loves you. And here's some peace. That's what he does most of the time. Say not all the time. And then you got Jimmy. He has an instinct predominantly. Craig, what's going on? Let's get right to the root of it. I'm correcting it. We'll deal with it, and we'll kick it out. And that's it. Say predominantly. And the Bible says that an elder is to be a shepherd and a bishop. And so this guy comes in as he thinks that he is usually. But then he gets in that meeting, and you know who he appears? The shepherd. He's out there saying after everything's over, hey, hey, it's okay. Come back here. Hey, that's okay. And I said, look at God. I said, I'm so proud of what you just did, that you adapted to the heart of God instead of your strength for yourself in God. You did what was ever required. Arthur, he corrects. He does it. I'm just saying predominantly. But sons and daughter adapt to the father and do whatever he's requiring. Whatever he's requiring. And he did. I go, look at you. He goes, isn't that amazing? I go, yeah, isn't God amazing? He would have never done that on purpose. Matter of fact, when he left, he probably thought, why'd I do that? He probably said, I don't do that. Kind to people? Are you kidding me? Yeah. He even got in there with the scripture. Oh, come on, Craig. Put them big guns down for a second. He's like, easy. He's like, let me fix up this sheep. Whoa. Everybody did their part. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah, and that's what this church is about, and it took seasoning. And, you know, I don't know how to look at it sometimes in theology, and I don't want to. As for me, I'm not getting all theology'd out. I'm not going all heady. I quit it. I quit trying to figure it out. I told Steve Bissey, he goes, Craig, I got these group of young guys, and maybe you could come out here to Seattle and show them how to do some stuff with the manifestations of God. I go, I'll do whatever God says. I'm ready. But I said, if I was you, he said, I don't even have a facility. I said, I'd meet in the house with these young guys that are already saved and want to know how God's presence works. And I said, I would go in there, I'd just get some songs and get a CD and start worshiping God. And I told him the story, and he started laughing, never heard it. I said, when I first got right with God, I was so hungry. Is this reality, God? What's reality here? That I would just sing in front of the window. You heard the story I told Steve. I would sing there till his presence would manifest. And then I would begin to hear the voice of God. And I don't mean hear it, I am God. I begin to sense God's presence. And then I did that by myself. And then I did that with my wife. And then I went on a trip with this hard-head buddy of mine and said, hey, man, we do this thing with God. You in? He's like, and I was so embarrassed, self-conscious, and everything. We began to worship God. He did. He's a hard-head. He's like, oh, my God, this is so real. That group, then we had four, and then we kept going. And then we had like about 20-something people in my house. All we knew to do was sing to God. They all came because they wanted that touch from God. And then an elder came to the church that I went, and he said, oh, my God, you know what's going on here? We're like, no. We don't know what's going on here. No, not at all. Do you know what's going on here? He goes, and he began to teach us some things about the manifestations of the God. He brought the word of God, and he said, do you remember when you're feeling that? That's that. And we're like, you know, and he was smiling. Remember how he smiled? He smiled like them cats, but his eyes would disappear like. Yeah, remember that? He was like, it was what he was really saying, and his smile is like, man, God's beautiful, and these guys are so doggone ignorant. So let's help them out. And so he began to train. Remember, he come and train. And then it kept growing. And so we started growing in our other giftings, maybe teaching a little bit. And people would go, yeah, okay, thanks for that word, but you guys aren't really good at that. Can we do that worship thing again with you? Yeah, they do that. We'll stay here for 5 seconds. Can you close that book a second? But I told Steve, do that with those men. I said, you'll train them. God trains them. They got to be doing something to get trained. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And whatever you're dealing with, don't wait for God is magical. Put your hand to what he put it to. Put your hand there and go to work there and watch him back it. And that's what he's doing in this fellowship. He's sending people out. He's sending out. It has the most identity that it's ever had in clarity, The most unity that it's had in clarity. And if you're not in, get in. If you know people that are flopping around, get in. Because we're going. You know, I hope to God they all come. Because it's not going to live at this standard no more. And I so appreciate God, because I remember day after day grinding it out for admirers and saying, God, I know that we're called to do more than this. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. I'm not complaining. I'll take whatever. Salvation, whatever. But there's more. And he said, yeah, there's more. And I put it in your guys' heart, and you're crying out for enlargement. Do you remember all the people in the church here, the youth here, the young ones, the old ones? And I said, hey, people weren't coming to prayer, but prayer's coming to you. You wouldn't come to prayer, but all of a sudden God has us all praying and saying, I want you to birth this thing. Do you know that's how Daniel did it? People think Daniel just walked around like, you know, we have all the artwork in the little churches. Like, Daniel, you know, he's like, he's always feminine because artists were, I don't know what they were. He's always like kind of bent. And here's the angel, right? But the fact is, he didn't have any encounter with God. He read the word of God. I was reading it, and I was telling Jimmy, I can't remember what he was referring to, but he was reading the scriptures. He didn't see an angel. Tell your neighbor, I didn't see an angel. He was reading the scriptures, and he started reading those scriptures, and I don't know what verses he was reading, but you can find it. Read Daniel 1 through 6, maybe. You'll find it. And you know what he did? God put in his heart to start praying those scriptures. And he said, Daniel said, I'm praying these scriptures three times a day. Say three times a day. And then Daniel began to pray those scriptures, and you know who began to move? Guess who moved? Come on, don't shout. Come on, I've got to get some participation. God began to move when they began to pray. Well, if Daniel didn't pray, it'd be somebody else's name that would be in that book. And he began to pray and said, God, you promised these things. And you said these things about your temple. And all of a sudden he changed. Say he changed. And he quit. He's not the kind of guy which most of America and most of the church, not all, say it, not all, are so into themselves. I told Steve Bissett yesterday, I said, can you imagine if me or you were Jesus? Point to yourself. And you got a revelation from God the Father that you were going to die on a cross. Say, son, you're going to die. And you're going to die for the world. And you're going to die in obedience to me. And you're going to die, and I'm telling you when. And, you know, be happy. You know what I'm saying? And then, so, look, check it out. I was telling Steve, we all have our worlds. Jesus had his world. The main thing was, I got to go to the cross. But he didn't let that get in the way. His world didn't get in the way of everything. If it was some of us, we would have said, Arthur would say, Craig, you want to go eat? No, I got to go to the cross. What are you, crazy? I got to be ready. It's going to hurt. You know what I'm saying? Easy. That's what I would have done. What are you, kidding me? We got 5 services. Go where? We have our own world. You relate? But check out Jesus, the example. And that's what I'm beginning to do it. I was talking to Steve. He's beginning to do it. I said, we got to forget about our world. And Daniel forgot about his world. He was praying God's prayers. Open your Bibles, because you won't believe me. Daniel 9:17. Open them right now. He's a pushy, demanding joker, isn't he? Yes. Is that what he was reading? Jeremiah, about the 70 years. Awesome. What verse was that in? 25:12. That's what he was reading, 25:12. Of course, we didn't have a Bible. He had a scroll. He was reading that scroll, but that's what he was reading. And he got enlightened by the word of God. Say, by the word of God. And then check it out. You read God's word. If you want him involved, you read his word. His word will become his voice. That voice will become his spirit. And that's what happened to Daniel. And then what was I telling you to go? Oh, 9:17. Everybody read it out loud. I don't care if it sounds like chaos. Read it out loud. Go ahead. He said, for your own sake. Say, for your own sake. See, Daniel wasn't into his world. He was into God's world. Oh, it's right there. Thank you. Cain was doing it. See, he gave me the eyes. Like, what do you look behind you, Craig? He said, for your sake, God. For your sake. Something changed in that man. He wasn't just about himself. And you know, when Jesus went around, he this is Daniel. He left his world and all became about God's world. Which is a rarity, which shouldn't be, but is a rarity in the church in most of our lives. And Jesus knew he was going to the cross, and check it out. His own cousins head got whacked, John the Baptist, cut off by a king and a Jezebel lady. And he's sad. You know, he was sad. But that's his world. Say, that was Jesus' world. That same moment, he's walking. He's wanting to probably be alone and sad and think about his world. But he doesn't. He lays it aside, and he heals the multitude. You got to lay things aside in your life for others to live. Tell your neighbors that others might live. Tell your neighbor that others might live. That's why I'm living. For God and that others might live. It's not about me and about my comfort. And that's when Jimmy's saying, why are they so many admirers and so little followers? He was saying that. I don't understand. That's right here. They're all full of themselves. And they haven't never been emptied out. But they got to be emptied out and just to be filled with his purposes. For your name's sake, God. For your sake. I'm here for you. Don't you know we're praying that? I'm here for you. It ain't about me. He's going to take care of you, provide for your needs, heal your body, do whatever is necessary. But you're to get out of you and go over there. Jesus had all kinds of, I'm going to the cross, but I'm going to feed these people. That's kingdom mentality. Say, God, toughen me up. Make me the man I'm supposed to be. Make me the woman of God I'm supposed to be. And that's what he did with Daniel. And Daniel's a simple thing. And that's what you're going to do. I'm doing. Daniel gave himself to the word. He gave himself to prayer. And then he started getting God activity. And then he made a stand. He said, I'm standing. I'm anti everything that's not God. And I'm for everything that is. Put your hand in your heart and say, God, do that in me. Get rid of that junky compromise. Get rid of that compromise where I'm nicer than Jesus. And I don't take a stand for anything. And he was a testimony for God and an anti-testimony to everything else around him. Here, eat this food like the kings do. He said, not having it. That says in Leviticus, not supposed to. We're out the law. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the heart of it. He said, I'm not having it. And they say, you sure? Because if you come up puny, eating what you're eating, we're going to deal with you. He said, I'm not afraid. I honor God. That's what changes a nation. That's what changes a generation. That's what changes your workplace. That's what changes a city. No compromise. The more you compromise and look just like them, who cares? Can't see the difference. Can't go out there mingled. Can't do that. God said, I give a pure seed. It's my kingdom. Amen? Some people are saying, oh me, but change it. Don't leave here just hearing something and not changing. Put your hand to it. It's not going to be magical. It's for those who continue. Say it out loud. It's not magical. It's for those who continue. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciple indeed. And you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make you crazy radical free. I'm paraphrasing. It's going to make you free. All you have to do is be consistent. That's all you have to do. So I'm excited. Say excited. Say, God's the God of just measure and balance. All these years that he's invested in you, all these years that he's invested in this church, all these years in these leaders, all these years in these women, they're going. Say they're going. God's going to send them. And they're and you're not looking for, let me write down. I wrote down this thing right before I left the room. It has to do with the mantle. It's amazing. Joseph, you taught me a bad habit. Amazing. I can't stop it. It's a descriptive word. You messed me up. It's amazing. It's stuck in my head. All right. Let's see. You getting anything out of today? It's one of those days that in God's, what he's doing is confirming the souls of this place, acknowledging the vision that he invested in. And get ready, because you're going. You're going out. You're going to do what you do. Every man in their order. And I'm telling you, you watch some of these people be provoked to jealousy. Oh, I'm just not feeling it today. I you don't know what it does in my throat. That's probably why God answers all our prayers. Save this kid, Craig. He's about to burst in the neck. Save this guy. You know, I'm just not feeling it. You know, Keith Green, he wrote a song. He said, Jesus rose from the dead and you can't even get out of bed. Where are those Keith Greens, huh? What happened to Keith Greens that would rattle cages and not just sing, you know, be blessed and be satisfied and be happy? He said, man, Jesus rose from the dead. You can't even get out of bed. I'm not feeling it. Can you imagine Jesus? Hey, who would be feeling it to go to the cross? And that day, I think I woke up and he would have told me to go. Today's the day, Craig. I'm just not feeling it. All of humanity is going to hell. I'm not feeling it. You know, can you see him with his Jewish hair? I'm not feeling it. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know what I'm saying? I don't relate. And so Anna said, Craig, where are the disciples? I said, Anna, we got to make them. I mean, make them. You will follow God. You will serve God. We're going to make you into that, or we're going to break you off. That happens. Sometimes truth comes and people say, I don't want to hear that. Good. I'm glad now. Don't waste our time no more. Let another find you. Go ahead. I was telling Scott, you know, about some stuff. And the 5,000 were always loaves and fish. Feed me. Big brother government, Jesus, feed me. Can you? And then they followed him. He goes, you guys are following me because you want me to always provide for you. Feed me. He goes, there's a bigger picture here. There's a bigger picture. And he begins to break it down. And he starts hitting it about life and God and the communion with God and what you're destined to be. And then they go, not so much. No, not really. It's demanding, for God's sake. I don't have a life. I disappear. Are you serious? I started going through the list. And Jimmy, I was telling him, those that got saved, I said, I truly believe they were converted. I truly believe that they had an encounter with God. I believe they had more than a commitment. And I watched them, and I watched when they came to this place of idols, all of them. Follow, 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 boom. Here they're wrestling. I go, good, this is your part. Now you're going to make disciples. They said, no, not really. One guy, I got to keep doing what I do because I love myself so much. And if I don't do this, then people won't respect me. He had an image problem. Another lady, I told her, she said, I love God, the presence of God, and she made an idol out of an ungodly man. And there she goes. I can name the names. Another man came in here and said, God, I love this place, and I love the God of this place. And he was a man of whims. Wherever his head would go, he would go. Wherever his head would go, there he goes. I got an idea. This must be God. Man of whims, not a man of authority. Not a man of him. There he goes. I say, see you later. Bye. We're always here for you. But we're moving now. And things are going to open up because God is the God of just balance. And we're going out. I mean, in your years and all the years that you've been praying, you're going to see this day. You're seeing it. And you're going to go to work on this thing. Look at the scripture. Awake, awake. I put it down because I was like amazed. We always sing it, you know. I don't even know. I put so many highlighting colors. I try to tell myself, highlight green, highlight blue. Remember that one. Not happening. Now it's all blue, green. I'm like, whatever. Yeah, right? What happened here? Let me finish this thing. Let me tell you about this word mantle. He said he went and found Elijah and he cast out a mantle. And the mantle means this. A mantle is something ample. I should have remembered that. It was a rhyme. A mantle is something ample, large, like a large vine, like clothing, a garment, glory, a mantle. That's what a mantle is. And that's what people catch when you start telling them about who God made them. And I want to go back to that one I was just telling you about. And I believe it's in green. I highlighted the scripture. Awake, awake. All right. No, it's in blue. It's Isaiah. Isaiah, I don't know where. Isaiah 52 maybe? Huh? There you go, Tom. Thank God for Tom. It says this. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit up, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself and your bonds from your neck. This is how the another translation says, shake yourself from the dust, rise. And I can't, oh man, who has Amplified? Read that in the Amplified out loud for me. Huh? Oh, thank you. Modern technology. Where's that? Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth you shall no more come into the uncertain. That's not the one I want. Next verse. There you go. Shake yourself from the dust, arise, sit erect in a dignified place, huh? In a dignified place, loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. There was a definition there. So you're gonna shake yourself because we are going on. You see, I mean, how you say today is a day of acknowledging. It's a day of propelling, and we're going. I mean, I'm gone. I'm wherever I'm going. I'm doing this. I got this fuel, and I want you to write in your notes. It's not what I want. It's God's must. I want you to look in the dictionary for the word must. It has such a deliberate, I've got to. It's a mandate. I've got no choice. For some of your lives, you must walk out of that problem that you're in. You got to. You got no choice. You can't go back to it anymore. It's killing you and killing everybody. You'll find in God, the reality of God is that you can't sin. They're saying, oh, yes, I can. Watch me. You can't sin continually because you got his life in you. I found out that revelation. I'd go on and do and try and found out I can't sin. Serious. Try it. I can't sin. Because I don't relate to it. It doesn't feed me. It doesn't do anything to me. I can't sin. Can you believe that? John says that. If you have God in you, you can't sin. And everybody goes, no, that means I can't do. No, no, I'm talking. You try it. You stay there long enough and God's really in you. I'm not saying try to sin. Here we go. Correct the CD over the nation. I'm saying the beauty of God is that you won't do it for long. You'll get sick and you'll vomit. You'll say, I can't do this anymore. I'm so sick. I'm dying. Guys always tell me that. I say, well, quit it. Now quit it. Repent, forsake it, and quit it. You don't want it anymore. It makes you sick. That's Christianity. Not trying to just do right, living by life. You try it. Man, I try. I'm trying. No, I can't. Mm-hmm. That's true. And that's totally true. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to wrap this up here. I thought I was going to do something. But I'm excited about what's going on, and like the elders, the whole body of Christ here, the unity that we have, the sending that he's doing. These older women that are teaching younger women, they've grown in stature. They're teaching younger women. I mean, not just in this area. It's going to go other areas. It's a rarity that older women skilled in God and stature in the Word are training younger women how to love God and how to love their husbands. Get that one, huh? I got guys in counseling. My wife doesn't love me. That means she doesn't respect you. I was just saying. And the guys need respect because they don't know how to love her. Because most of them are just saying, I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. What are you talking about? Approach me? No. And then they end up in an affair. Not that that's their excuse. They got no excuses. Say they got no excuses. But it happens because they're not being women of God and how to live by the kingdom. But we got them here. Say, we got them here. And they're going out and they're going to train other women. And we got some young ones coming up and beginning to get spiritual songs and guys prophesying and administrations happening. And I'm excited about that. Next generation. Yeah, nobody's dormant. You should have seen, I went to Odessa one time. And, you know, God always does that every so often for you. Because when you're in here, you get to drive a Volkswagen, you know. Because And, you know, you do, because you have to. You got to, well, you can't. But then when you get out and who God, you know, how he made you, you're like, this is what I used to do like 5 years ago. You go out to Odessa. I brought guys with me. People, like God was there. And the ones that you thought wouldn't say a word were praying. I'm telling you that. I don't embarrass Cain. Praying over all these people and on target. Look at that. See? And then they come back here like, okay. What I'm saying is that's going to happen again. That happens, supply and demand. Sometimes, you know, God won't, I mean, if you come in and people are just in a certain state, Paul said, man, you're dull of hearing. I got so much I want to tell you. But he's not going to let that happen forever. Because if it's not this people, then he's sending you to another people, into other cities. And then they'll come back and they won't say, I'm not feeling it. They'll say, what is going on over there? People from where? Dallas? People from where? Over here? Why are they all getting together? Yeah, we're doing it. I want you to write down your own notes. But yeah, and the same thing, you know, there's a scripture, and I can't think where it's at. Yeah, that's it. Deuteronomy, totally for you. Deuteronomy says, and they will rise up with wings like eagles. Isaiah says it too. But they're going to soar and ride upon the high places of the earth. And I totally get the hit with God. You've been so faithful in this house, so faithful to back it down some notches, so faithful to put some things away because you're adapting, saying, I want all the people to join worship. I want all that to happen, but that's days over. You're going to soar like you used to soar. You're going to write songs like you used to write. You're going to proclaim things like you used to proclaim. And you don't have to. It's almost like take your willow off the dust it off a little bit. It's time. Dust it off. Just dust it off. It's time. And you watch and see God's things are going on. That people do that. And I love that you did that. Lay that gift down. Lay it down for the sake of his people. But then God says, it's raising up. You got to use it. You got to use it again. You got to use it. You got to prophesy whether you think people want to hear you sing Kumbaya or not. Do it. That's who God made you. Time to soar. Time to shriek. 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 You know how I saw that when I was walking my dog, those two hawks. I thought they wanted to eat my dog. They said like, yay! That was like crazy. Kind of scary shriek. Shriek, man. Prophesy. Shriek, you know? Take your little harp off and go. Blow it out. We're going to do that. Yeah, don't you love God? Nothing's wasted. Nothing's wasted. Arthur was saying, 100 times more or 5,000 times more, what did you say, than what I'm doing now? 100 times more. 7 more times, hit that arrow, buddy. Yeah, hit it. Keep hitting it. It's awesome. And so anyway, I wanted to confirm that on some people and what's going on here and the vision here. To me, it's so real that I feel like I'm already over there. I'm going to do that, and we're going to do that. So, and I want you on your own, and maybe another day. I wanted to do communion, but we're running out of time. Let's just do that. Do we have enough cups or enough things? That's right. That's amazing. And that's what makes, see, it proved that everything's changed. Hey, not really. We can make it happen. Shoom, in one breath. I want you to get your heart ready. And Anna said something about kissing Baal and all that. You on your own time. I was telling Jimmy, and it's premature in a revelation, but 1 Corinthians 10 says that, you know, we're to partake of the Lord's table. I want you to get it. I want Arthur to get it because I think you're going to get something out of it because you're into communion. 1 Corinthians 10 says the Lord's table. Check it out with your communion study. And I don't know because I don't have it all, but I'm going to give what I got. And he talks about the Lord's table in 1 Corinthians 10. And he says, Can you drink the cup of blessing? Can you sup with Christ? Can you fellowship? Or like Anna saying, can you kiss these idols? Because he's talking about idols. And the Lord's table has to do with our fellowship with God and one another. But then I walked and I read through the whole verses that I usually don't do. And all of a sudden he goes into 1 Corinthians 11 and starts talking about the administration of God. He said that Christ is the head of man. God's the head of Christ. And he goes through this order. And I go, wow, this is what I'm getting. Over here at the table, it's for us to enjoy the Lord, to get away from idols, what's killing us, to enjoy him. But all of a sudden in 11, he said, now you're going to partake of the Lord's supper, not his table. And at his supper, there's the elements of the kingdom. And where his administration's at, order and headship, his kingdom's at. And he's saying, you're partaking of this, not for you now, but for me. And as often as you take and do it in remembrance of me, you're extending my kingdom. And it's about, and Jesus said in Matthew 26, I'm not going to drink of this wine or eat of this bread until the day of my kingdom. Say, his kingdom is now. And it's coming, but it's now. So when we do what we do today, we're saying, thank you, God, that for the work of God that you've done in our lives and the unity that you put us in by your glory. We were all outfits, but you made it happen. And thank you for the vision being more clear than ever. And that the seed that we're going to go out bearing precious seed. And we're going to reap many sons and daughters for your kingdom. And we're going wherever. Thank you for that. We're celebrating that. But we want to know you to know. It's not about us, our fellowship, and all that. It's about you in the furthering of your administration, which is the furthering of your kingdom. And we're doing that in remembrance of you. There's something in it. I don't have it all. But it goes. You study communion. You got it. So I want you today. If you're here, if you don't want to do it here, that's between you and God. But the people in this house that you relate to it and you say, I know that God's doing this. I'm going to drink this cup. And this time, not just for me. If you're dealing with idols, yeah, get rid of it. If you're kissing Baal, get out of it. If you're in sin, forget about it. But I'm not there today. I'm there about the extending of his kingdom and doing it in remembrance in Corinthians 11 order. And that we're going to honor Jesus and said, hey, it's all about you, not just about us. It's about you, and it's about, when you talk about order, you're talking about your body, your church. And when you talk about your body, your church, you're talking about extending your kingdom and affecting society. So, Father, we pray right now. We thank you for what you're doing in here. Let the work of your spirit penetrate, propel. Thank you for acknowledging us. Thank you for acknowledging your vision. And thank you, God, for taking people out of admiring you to truly following you and emptying out. And in your head, you empty out of yourself that water, you full of you. Empty it out and say, God, this cup is to be filled by you to further. And we do this in remembrance of you. And we discern your body, which is discerning your kingdom. And we're not sick and we're not weak and we're not impotent, but we're reproducers. It's your kingdom, Jesus. It's about you. And on your own, if you have the cup, I don't know how you want to administrate it, Arthur. You going to pass them out? When that cup comes to you and that bread, say, hey, this time, Jesus, hey, I appreciate that you saved me. I appreciate your redemption. But this time, it's for the extending of your administration. We're going to put you in remembrance the extending of your kingdom. That you died for more than just forgiveness of sin. That you extended a kingdom. You didn't take us out of the earth. You left us in the earth to become and predestined to be formed in your image and likeness. And to reflect you. And to impact society that's rotten with your saltiness. To shine light on all darkness. And to stand where you stand. When you're ready, you do it between you and God. So when your heart's right, and when your heart's ready, you go ahead and partake. Say, God, this one's for you. Say, God, this one's for you. We're drinking to your remembrance, to your furtherance. We're drinking to your enlargement and your release and extension of yourself through us. We're drinking to your administration, that it be seen. We're drinking to that, and we're partaking of that life of you, and that all of that today for the furtherance and remembrance of you. Whenever you're ready, you go ahead. You eat the bread, you drink the wine. And think in your head where God wants you to extend him. Workplace, marketplace, church place, wherever it is, wherever that is. We're in, Lord, we're in. Thank you, thanks. We're in, Lord, it's for you. Thanks. Wow. We're in. Will you stand to your feet? So you're extending your leadership through me. You're extending your sonship and your kingdom through me. Let's just play that one time through, hey? You can keep your eyes closed. Just worship him and thank him. Thank him for what he's done here today. Thank him for what he's done in your life today. God, we love you. We praise you and we thank you. Thank you for being real. Thank you for being able to touch hearts. Thank you for growing us in new relationships. Thank you for extending yourself and the work that must be worked.
Communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's what happened here today. It was an acknowledgement, and so that it will produce and become effectual in the life of this body, in your life, in the life of the kingdom going out. I want to read it out of the Amplified too. And I pray that the participation in and the sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto His glory.